Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 18. We're beginning in verse 17 and reading through the first verses of chapter 19. 2 Kings 18, 17 through 19, 13. This is God's word. "The king of Assyria sent his supreme commander, his chief officer, and his field commander with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. They came up to Jerusalem and stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. They called for the king, and Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, went out to them. The field commander said to them, 'Tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. On what are you basing this confidence of yours? You say you have strategy and military strength, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? Look now, you are depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff which pierces a man's hand and wounds him if he leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. And if you say to me, 'We are depending on the Lord our God,' isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You must worship before this altar in Jerusalem'? Come now, make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you can put riders on them. How can you repulse one officer of the least of my master's officials, even though you are depending on Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Furthermore, have I come to attack and destroy this place without word from the Lord? The Lord himself told me to march against this country and destroy it.' Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, and Shebna and Joah said to the field commander, 'Please speak to your servants in Aramaic, since we understand it. Don't speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people on the wall.' But the commander replied, 'Was it only to your master and you that my master sent me to say these things, and not to these men sitting on the wall, who, like you, will have to eat their own filth and drink their own urine?' Then the commander stood and called out in Hebrew, 'Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you from my hand. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says, "The Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria." Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says: make peace with me and come out to me. Then every one of you will eat from his own vine and fig tree and drink water from his own cistern until I come and take you to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. Choose life and not death. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, "The Lord will deliver us." Has the God of any nation ever delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they rescued Samaria from my hand? Who of all the gods of these countries has been able to save his land from me? How then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" But the people remained silent and said nothing in reply, because the king had commanded, "Do not answer him." Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, went to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him what the field commander had said. When King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went into the temple of the Lord. He sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and the leading priests, all wearing sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. They told him, "This is what Hezekiah says. This is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace. It's when children come to the point of birth and there's no strength to deliver them. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the field commander whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to ridicule the living God, and that he will rebuke him for the words the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, pray for the remnant that still survives." When King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, "Tell your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard, those words with which the underlings of the kings of Assyria have blasphemed me. Listen, I am going to put such a spirit in him that when he hears a certain report, he will return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with the sword." When the field commander heard that the king of Assyria had left Lachish, he withdrew and found the king fighting against Libna. Now Sennacherib received a report that Tirhaka, the Cushite king of Egypt, was marching out to fight against him. So he again sent messengers to Hezekiah with this word, "Say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let the God you depend on deceive you when he says, Jerusalem will not be handed over to the king of Assyria. Surely you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the countries, destroying them completely. And will you be delivered? Did the gods of the nations that were destroyed by my forefathers deliver them? The gods of Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden who were in Tel Assar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Seraphim, or Hena, or Iva?" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Hezekiah had rebelled against Assyria because he was doing well. He had trusted in the Lord. God was blessing him, prospering him, and he had had some military victories as he depended on the Lord. But then he decided, we're going to stop paying taxes to this foreign king of Assyria. And when he did, the king of Assyria came up into his country and began destroying place after place, defeating city after city, including Lachish, which is where the king of Assyria was when all this was happening. The one place he didn't conquer was Jerusalem, which is where King Hezekiah was. And so when Hezekiah suffered these major military losses, he attempted appeasement. He scraped the gold off of the things that were gold-plated at the temple. He took all the gold from the temple, all the silver from the temple, and all the gold and silver from his palace. And he sent it as an offering to this evil king of Assyria. And he's like, "Listen, I messed up. I'm so sorry. I'm your servant. Here you go." And it was what the king had demanded. It was the amount that the king demanded. But when you try to appease a very wicked adversary, it never works. It never works. It's never enough. So now what happens? King of Assyria sends messengers and says, surrender. I'm doing to you what I've done to everybody else. If you come out to me, everything will be good. There will be peace until we accomplish relocation. We're going to move you somewhere else, just like we've done to everybody else. They'd already seen this done to Israel. Judah had seen it done to Israel. And now he's saying, we're going to do it to you too. We're going to relocate you to a country like yours, and you'll be able to prosper there. Problem is, they would no longer be God's people in the land that God had promised to them. And so this is a bad plan, but it's what the king of Assyria has in mind. And when he says, this is what we're going to do, Hezekiah is saying, we need to trust in the Lord. God will protect us. And the messengers come and they say, don't listen to Hezekiah. He says, don't let Hezekiah deceive you by saying you can depend on the Lord. No God has been able to stand up to me. He's putting himself in the place of God. This is very much the spirit of Lucifer all over again. He says, don't trust in your king. Don't trust in your God. Submit yourselves to me. And he says it in Hebrew, and the kings of Hezekiah's officials say, please, 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 don't say it in such a language that these people understand, Hebrew. Speak to us in Aramaic, similar language. But speak to us in Aramaic because we understand Aramaic. And I don't want the people on the wall to understand what you're saying because this is very demoralizing stuff. And the messengers from the king of Assyria say, this message is for them too. Anybody who doesn't submit to us is going to end up eating and drinking their own waste. That's a pretty nasty threat. Why would they even take something like that seriously? Because that's what Assyria had done to other places. So, they go to the king. They go back to Hezekiah. And they say, look, this is what happens. And they are showing their grief and fear by having torn their robes. And then they put on sackcloth in order to humble themselves before God. Why sackcloth? Because it's itchy. It's uncomfortable. You're saying, I am not trying to be comfortable right now. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. And so the king, when he gets the message, King Hezekiah, when he gets the message, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went into the temple of the Lord. And then he sends Eliakim, Shebna, and the leading priests, all wearing sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. Now, why did he do that? They're at the temple. The temple is where you meet with God and worship God. But Isaiah was God's spokesman. And they knew at this moment they needed to hear from God. What is God saying? What is the word of the Lord? When you are in a really hard situation, you might think, I'm going to go to church this Sunday. A lot of people do that. It's like somebody gets sick, something bad happens, I'm going to church, okay? I'm going to try and get close to God. I haven't been there for a while, but now I'm serious. I just got a bad report from the doctor, and I'm going to go to church, okay? Here's where you need to go, and any good church will tell you that. Turn to the word of the Lord and see what God says. And that's what they did by sending to Isaiah. The threat that came against them was a military threat. The threat that came against them was also a psychological threat. But the real attack was spiritual. And King Hezekiah had the wisdom to see that. He saw that behind all of this threat against him and against his nation was blasphemy against God. Comparing the other gods that had not been able to save the other nations with the God who is God. There's no comparison. God isn't a lot more powerful than those false gods. God has all power. Do you know that in the last, I'm going to say 10 years, scientists, what's the fastest speed we've got? Speed of light. They found that there are ways to make the speed of light go faster than the speed of light with an accelerator. Now, I find a hard time understanding that, but I find the studies credible. It's possible for something to go faster than the speed of light. Guess what? The speed of light was created by God, who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. This is the God that is being blasphemed by the king of Assyria. King of Assyria thinks he is mighty, mightier than any of the gods of the nations. Well, the gods of the other nations are not God. The God who is God has all power, all authority, knows everything, including the future. And so when this threat comes, the king, Hezekiah, recognizes the real attack here is not just an attack on us, it's an attack on God. It is an arrogant, blasphemous attack on Almighty God. And what does he say? It may be, verse 4 of chapter 19, it may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the field commander whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to ridicule the living God, and that he will rebuke him for the words the Lord your God has heard. God's already heard it. God knows. Well, but he said it to those people. God hears it all. God knows everything. God knows what you say in secret. So, Isaiah says, this is what the Lord says. Tell your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of the words you've heard, those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. You know the main point for today? This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of what you've heard, those words with which they blasphemed me. Listen. God's saying, listen to my word. I'm going to put such a spirit in him that when he hears a certain report, he'll return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with the sword. Who's making that promise? Not the CIA. God is saying, I'm going to take that guy out. You don't worry about him. He's threatening you. He's blaspheming me. Not to worry. I'm going to take care of him. And man, in the next section that we'll see, God dispatches one angel to fight a big army. And let's just say he makes short work of it. It's amazing. How did he do that? That is an angel taking on an army. God only needed to send one angel. Why? Because God doesn't just have a lot of power. God has all power. And therefore, those who trust in him don't have to be afraid. Let me read to you from Psalm 27. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Wow. The reason for his confidence is because of his relationship with the Lord God. It is because he knows the Lord that he doesn't have to be afraid. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Therefore, I will not fear. In Matthew 10:28, Jesus says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but after that cannot kill the soul. Who should we fear? The Lord. And if we fear him rightly, we don't have to fear anybody else. We don't have to fear anything else. Even the specter of death cannot shake those who belong to God. Because, well, what if we die? Well, I'm going to heaven. How about you? If your trust is in the Lord, you do not have to fear. So Jesus isn't saying that he's going to protect us from pain? No. But your pain is temporary. Whatever's going on, it's really hard. It's temporary. The question is, what's your relationship with the Lord? If your relationship with him is solid, you're good permanently. If your relationship with him is not what it should be, then I plead with you, while you have the opportunity, surrender your life to him. God has not given his children a spirit of fear. Instead, he's given us a spirit of adoption, whereby we call him Daddy, Abba, Father. If God be for us, who can be against us? Whatever comes against us, God says he'll take care of. If you're going through a hard time, and if you're not now, you will be sometime. If you're going through a hard time, cry out to the Lord. That's what King Hezekiah did. That's what God's people in Jerusalem were led to do. And God said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I hope that you will hear God this day saying to you, don't be afraid. Trust in the Lord. Do good.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.